Our yoga instructor challenged us to find inner peace. I found it faster than anyone. After 4 seconds, I stood up and screamed, "I found nirvana! I win!" They asked me to leave. I guess they don't respect winning. Bet365 does, though. New customers get $365 in bonus bets just for betting $10. Namaste, losers. Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Network. Pro football full circle.
Circling. Oh, look out! Gronkowski didn't have the angle. Touchdown! Aho, Kenyon Drake! A miracle!
Murray heaves it downfield. It is. It's caught! It is caught! DeAndre Hopkins! Miraculous!
Fires. Mike said, Walker!
To the start of training camp right here on Pro Football Full Circle. Joe Lisi, George Kurtz right here on the Sports Grid Network, Sirius Channel 204, talking all things NFL. George, it's great to be talking about training camp right now, talking about these teams trying to take shape in the offseason to make a title run. We talked about the NFC North yesterday, going to touch on the AFC North today. I have an interesting question for you because I'm going to give you three quarterbacks and I want to get your take in terms of which quarterback has more pressure on them to perform in 2021. We'll look at the Pittsburgh Steelers and Ben Roethlisberger. Started 11-0 last year. Disappointing second half of the season. They get knocked out of the playoffs by Cleveland. And then you look at Baker Mayfield and the Cleveland Browns, right? They win that game. They move on to face Kansas City, lose that ball game and to Chad Henne, and we're totally toe right there in the fourth quarter. And then Lamar Jackson, right? Here's the X factor. Lamar Jackson, can he take the next step in terms of his progression and lead this team to the promised land? In your opinion, George, which quarterback has more pressure this year?
Well, I don't think it's Ben. I mean, you talk about the probable Hall of Famer, no matter what you think of him as a person, still as a football player, probable Hall of Famer. Could be his last year, took a pay cut. So I don't think there's any pressure on him. I don't. I don't think he's going to have all that great a year. I think his arm is just about shot, but I don't think there's a ton of pressure there. Lamar Jackson, I think he does all he can do. I really wish the Ravens would have done more for him. You know, maybe add that top-notch wide receiver there for him. So I don't know. I'm not saying that. I think the pressure as far as the AFC North quarterbacks, it's Mayfield.
Because you think Mayfield, most of us, really?
I think it is because we think they're there. We think they're there. Right? They can beat the team. They can be the take that next step to be there with Kansas City, Buffalo. You know, be that Baltimore, be that squad. And it's all up to Mayfield. It's a quarterback league. If he's there, if he's able to play as good as he played in the second half of last season with no Odell Beckham, if he can do that, this team is a true threat. So I think I can make an argument that all the pressure is on Mayfield.
Really? See, that's where we're going to disagree here. And this is probably our first disagreement on the show, because I think it's on Big Ben right here. And I know the Hall of Fame career. I understand the two Super Bowls. But that aside, that season was disappointing because of his play at the end of the year. And I understand some injuries, the arm injury, and he was banged up. And then the team had some offensive line concerns at the end of the year. But right here, right now, in 2021, if this team's going to make the playoffs, all the pressure falls on Big Ben. And I called him out. You know, at times he looks like Ben Roethlisberger as opposed to Ben Roethlisberger. I'm not sold that this team is going to be good this year. DeCastro now moves on. That offensive line has concerns. There's good wide receivers. I'm still not sold elite wide receivers. So all the pressure, in my opinion, falls on him this year. And again, Tomlin, in terms of leading this team back to a playoff run and a Super Bowl championship.
I mean, I don't think there's any doubt there's pressure on Ben. You know, but I just don't know if there's more he can do here. I think everything you said is true. I think that offense, I don't think it's a very good team. I don't think it's a bad team, mind you. I think it's around an 8-9 win team. You know, maybe go 9-8, 8-9. I don't think Ben can give you much more. I don't know if that arm's going to rebound. At the end of last year, he could barely throw the ball down the field. He was throwing so many lollipop passes. He was literally throwing fair catches. Maybe my guy will get it, maybe not. You know, I mean, yes, if if Eric Ebron catches that one ball, maybe things turn out differently there, but he dropped it. The offense skill position, yeah, I like Najee Harris, right? The number one pick there. I like him. Great. The wide receivers, Smith-Schuster, Claypool, Deontay Johnson, James Washington, might be the best group in the NFL. Like I said, I don't know if I'm going to tell you anyone's elite there. I don't think there's no DeAndre Hopkins, they know Devontae Adams, but the best group as far as top four, top three, top four, however you want to look at it. Ebron, he drops 20 balls, but he's still solid there. The offensive line is a mess. You know, they have some issues. They had some issues at the end of last year. Now you mentioned some subtractions there. I think they're going to have issues. So is there pressure on? There's pressure on every quarterback. But I just don't see it. I think it's much more on Mayfield than Ben. But I don't know if I see Pittsburgh as a playoff team, no matter how you look at this.
I'm going to give you a comp. How about the same type of situation in New York with Eli Manning at the end of his career? You think there's any comparison between Eli Manning's situation in New York and Big Ben's in Pittsburgh?
I think that's fair. I do. Eli sort of had sort of the same. Eli, I think, had different issues. I think Eli's issue was for the last couple of years, he saw the rush. He was seeing the rush. You know, and he was throwing up his back, but he didn't want to get hit no more. That's how bad that offensive line was. I don't think Ben is as worried about getting hit because, well, he is Big Ben. Don't get me wrong. He doesn't want to get hit. Nobody wants to get hit. But I don't think it bothers him as much as it did Eli at the end. Yeah, but I think the comparison is fair. I do. So offensive line, both teams is weak. Skill positions probably be better for Pittsburgh than what was for the Giants. But I think the comparison is fair here. Ben's going to feel it because if they are going to make the playoffs and make any kind of deep run, he has to be better. Has to. Because like I said, at the end of last year, you watched those games, he was throwing lollipops up. He had no arm strength at all. The arm was shot.
Right.
That's why I was a little surprised that he came back this year.
Yeah, me too. And every throw for Big Ben was short to intermediate routes. So that was the biggest thing for me is that he wasn't challenging defenses vertically. And in order to make a Super Bowl run, you need that. When we come back, we'll start with the Cincinnati Bengals and Joe Burrow, Joe Lisi and George Kurtz right here on the grid. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
To Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Rolling into the AFC North, Cincinnati last year, 4-11-1. They got the tie against Philadelphia in Lincoln Financial Field. They lost 11 games last year by 12.7 points per game, but did pick up two critical victories at the end of the year against Pittsburgh and Houston. Joe Burrow does return from the ACL injury. They draft his teammate at LSU, Ja'Marr Chase. A lot of optimism in Cincinnati, George, but there's Zach Taylor, their head coach, is there. I can't back this team in any way. FanDuel puts up a 6.5 win total. In 2021, they actually given you positive money at plus 120. I'm selling Cincinnati every step of the way this year, even though I love Joe Burrow.
Well, I think the season's about Burrow, right? Get him healthy. And he should be healthy. I think he does play week one and goes on from there. You can make an argument, you know, should they have drafted Chase, so whatever it should have been, the offensive line protect Burrow. And yes, you can't fix everything in 1 year. You let A.J. Green go. What I'm trying to say is it should be about Burrow. Everything's about Burrow. His development. He looked really good when healthy last year. And you want that growth to continue. Because if it can't continue, you can build everything else around him. Everything else is easier to acquire than the quarterback.
Oh, totally agree. And in order for him to be even more effective, right, because you look at that offense and those playmakers that they have in now instilled, right? Jamar Chase is there. You have T. Higgins. You have Tyler Boyd, the big play wide receiver from Pittsburgh that came on last year. There are pieces in place, but that running game needs to get better. That falls on the offensive line, and that's why I didn't like the draft pick of Chase. Even though I think Jamar Chase is a lethal type of talent, I thought they could have addressed the offense line first, protect Joe Burrow, because last year they ranked 24th in the NFL, only 104 rushing yards per game. They need more balance this year, and I'm not so sure that offensive line can come together that quickly in 2021.
Yeah, I think you and I agree here too. I'm not that I'm going to pan the draft pick of Chase. I'm not, because he was my second choice, and I'm not going to go bananas on that. But I think if I were the Bengals, yeah, I'd have drafted Sewell as well. Yeah, I would want to. I want to build the offensive line. I mean, I don't even think this is much of an argument. I think the most important position group in football is the offensive line. If you have a good offensive line, then you have a passing game, you have a running game, and theoretically you can keep your defense off the field because you can control the clock. And your quarterback just came off a major injury, you know, and this offensive line's been, you know, putrid for a while here. You know, not good. Certainly not good. They've had some injury problems. Now they're healthy. We'll see if that can help things out here. But I would agree. I would have gone Sewell as well. And also, you know, your wide receiver core with Boyd and Higgins, that's a pretty good start anyway. You know, adding Chase, you just sort of, you know, you put the cherry on top here. So I think I would have gone offensive line as well.
Before we turn our attention to the defense, what about Joe Mixon? I mean, the optimism about Joe Mixon when he came out of Oklahoma, this guy was going to be the Alvin Kamara of the NFL and showed glimpses of that early on in his career. But you look at last year, I mean, he split time with Gio Bernard. Bernard moves on. Only 427 rushing yards on the ground. I know he was hampered at times with injuries, but where is that big play ability from Joe Mixon, and where is the offensive staff's philosophy to actually implement him at critical times in games?
Well, that's the issue there. You gotta be more consistent in your drive to want to give him the ball, because a good running game, once again, will protect Burrow in the same way we've talked about other quarterbacks, making it second and six, second and five, instead of second and eight, second and nine. Keep the defenses guessing a little bit. But the offensive line does have to play. You have to be committed to the running game. You know, the running game generally does take off for most running backs as the game goes on. Defenses get tired. They don't want to tackle that guy anymore. It hurts. But Mixon also doesn't have as many excuses this year, because teams, I imagine, most NFL teams or NFL defenses choose to stop the pass first, or do their best to stop the pass first. Once again, you'd rather die by 1,000 knife cuts in the run game than the 80-yard touchdown bomb. And I think the same thing is going to be true of Cincinnati. You're going to want to stop Boyd. You're going to want to stop Chase. Stop T. Higgins. So Mixon will sort of be an afterthought here. But, you know, I think he has to be better. He has to play better. I think he can be, if all goes well, a top eight back in the NFL this season, but I could also see him falling out of a top 10, being a top 15 back if they're not committed to him, or obviously if he gets an injury again.
Right. Now, when you look at their win total, 6.5, I mean, they have their work cut out for them, because you look at their schedule, very difficult. Open with Minnesota, then at Chicago, at Pittsburgh. That's a winnable game, even though they got abused by the Steelers in Heinz Field last year. Jacksonville, Green Bay, at Detroit, at Baltimore, at Jets, Cleveland, and then a bye week. Now, here's what I have for wins for them. I gave them Jacksonville. I gave them Detroit, if you want, and the Jets. Outside of that, I don't see a win in the first half of the season.
Well, I think they can beat Pittsburgh. I don't think they're going to, but I think they can.
In Heinz Field?
Yeah, that's the problem. I think overall this season, I think they're going to go. They'll split against Pittsburgh. How many division games, if you worry about the over, what can they do in their division? I mean, that's really what it comes down to. Can they go 3-3? I don't think so. I think they're 2-4 in their division. Maybe 1-5. That wouldn't shock me either. So you just take those games out. You give them, let's give them 2 wins in their division. I agree with you on Detroit. They can beat Detroit. It's at Detroit. Won't be easy. It's at the Jets. Won't be easy. Where's another game? At Denver, all the games that we're saying they can win or they should be competitive in, they're all on the road. Chicago, right. Detroit, was it Denver, and there was another game, the Jets. But they're all on the road. They're not going to beat all four of those teams on the road. So if you win those 2 games in your division, maybe you get 2 of those games on the road. That's 4. Well, where's your other wins coming from to get the 6-7? You know, now you got to beat good teams.
Here's the problem with the Jet game. You know, it's three straight road games for them. At Detroit, at Baltimore, they get beat up by that physical offensive defensive line of the Ravens, and they got to defend Lamar Jackson. That defense could be tired heading into the Jets game. You don't know, but that three-game road trip is going to put a toll on that team, and then they follow that up with Cleveland. And then you mentioned it. Look at the end of the season. Baltimore, KC, at Cleveland. I have them dropping all three of those games. And the problem for me is that defense did not show any signs in terms of run support. They were ranked 29th in terms of rush defense last year, ranked 19th in pass defense. Only 17 sacks, George. That ranked dead last in the NFL. And you look at some of the players they have on defense. Jermaine Pratt at the linebacker position, Logan Wilson. I mean, Sam Hubbard, DJ Reader. They're good. They're not. They don't jump off the page and say these are elite top 10 players at any level. So for this team to take another step, they need to get some more draft picks on the defensive side of the ball. And I don't see that for a year or two. And I'll tell you this, Zach Taylor, in terms of adjustments, that staff is absolutely horrible. I don't look at that win against Pittsburgh as being, this team is turning the corner. They caught the Steelers last year at just the right time. They mailed it in. They knew they had some weaknesses at the end of the year. And basically, I thought that, you know, Pittsburgh was walking through the motions in that ballgame. So to say that this team can even win five games might be a long shot. They might just be just as bad as Detroit this year.
I can't argue this. I think that could happen. The schedule is tough. It's not easy. I think they are an improving team. I think the offense is legit, assuming, once again, Burrow comes back and he's healthy and he's fine. So I think the offense is legit. This will be a team that could score 24, 27, 28 points a game. Wouldn't shock me if they even average close to that. But the defense, I think, is still a work in progress. The offensive line does bother me a little bit. You're not going to fix everything in one offseason. You're not. You know, so I think my point is they're heading in the right direction, but it's not going to be this season. It's not. You know, the division is tough. It's one of the toughest in the NFL here. You're over under 6.5. I would go under. It wouldn't be a large amount because I think, once again, I'm not quite there. I think 4 wins is their low point, and probably 7 is your high point. So you're going to barely get over it if you do it. But give me the under here on wins here. I just don't like the – not this season, not yet for Cincinnati.
Yeah, I'm with you. You know, under 6.5 is -140 on the FanDuel Sportsbook right now. In terms of the fantasy perspective, right, we see Ja'Marr Chase. Can he be like Justin Jefferson? We know he's an elite talent, but can he put up those type of numbers in terms of what his teammate Justin Jefferson did with Kirk Cousins last year? Do you feel right here, right now, he can hit the ground running in this offense, and even if Joe Burrow is healthy, be close to 1,000 yards this year?
Well, we'll have to get this after the break here, but my short answer will be no, and I'll tell you why when we come back.
When we come back, we'll touch on Ja'Marr Chase. Also, turn our attention to the Pittsburgh Steelers, Joe Lisi and George Kurtz, right here on
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Let's go. Talking AFC North. Joe Lisi, George Kurtz right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius Channel 204. We talked about Cincinnati, and right before the break, I asked George if rookie wide receiver from LSU, Ja'Marr Chase, can put up the type of production that his teammate in Minnesota did last year, Justin Jefferson. George, what do you got for me?
Yeah, I said there's two reasons why I don't think he'll put up that kind of production. And this is nothing against Chase, who I think is probably a better player than Jefferson overall. But the two things are, one, generally, for wide receivers, it takes a little time. You have to learn the entire route tree, when to be the hot guy, when to be the not. You got to get the chemistry with the quarterback, and this can take some time. For some wide receivers, it does come right away. I'll play the argument that it doesn't come right away for Chase. And also, I think my main concern is, Tyler Boyd's got to get some catches. T. Higgins has got to get the balls thrown his way. It's not all going to be about Chase. You know, in Minnesota, really, that's all the Jesse had to worry about was stealing. That's it. No one else there to throw the ball to, really. So he's got more competition here for balls here in Cincinnati. So I'll take the I'm going to say no, he won't have the kind of year that Jefferson had.
Ooh, okay. They had big play production in 2019 when they won the national championship. He averaged 21.4 yards per catch. George and I might disagree on that. I have a feeling we're going to disagree on the Pittsburgh Steelers here. They started out one of the hottest teams, if not the best team in the NFL last year, 11-0, then the wheels fell off, right? They lost four of the last five by an average margin of defeat of 7.2 points per game. They lose to Washington, Buffalo, Cincinnati, and Cleveland. We all know about the blowout home loss in the playoffs to the Cleveland Browns. That game was a lot closer on paper than it was in terms of the white lines because they were abused 28-0 in the first half. Now all eyes on Big Ben to rebound in a big way. I'm not so sure this team is even a playoff contender this year, George. I think they're overhyped. I think that offensive line's a concern with or without Najee Harris. I think this team limps under their 8.5 win total this year.
Oh, Mike Blewett right now is going, Joe, what are you talking about?
Right. He's hot. Blewett's hot. I know.
And he's not going to feel any better about what I'm going to say because I agree with you almost 100% here. I think Pittsburgh's got some problems. I do. They don't have a quarterback of the future on the roster, but I think it was time to move on from Ben. I don't know. If you weren't going to draft one, you weren't going to sign one this year, fine. You want to stick with Ben, good. Go for it. But I don't see things getting all that much better. You mentioned, and people are going to point out, oh, they were 11-0, as you said. And you watched those games. They were 11-0, but, man, they pulled out some that they probably didn't deserve to win. I think this, and they probably shouldn't have lost whatever it was, four or five straight at the end either. You know, it's a happy medium somewhere there. But they're not. I don't think they're going to reach double digits this year. You know, I think they're, once again, 8-9 win teams. Schedule's not easy. The division's not easy. Once again, I think Baltimore's a better team. I think Cleveland's a better team. And I don't think Cincinnati's all that far behind either. So I think Pittsburgh's going to have some issues. They open up against Buffalo. That's a joy. You get Vegas. Even Vegas is not that fun. You got Green Bay. Assuming Rodgers there in the first month. You play Seattle, too. I mean, that opening six-game schedule could easily be 2-4. And I'd be surprised if it's not 2-4. So I think Pittsburgh's going to be into a rude awakening this season.
Yeah, I think they're an old aging team. And Blewett might jump down my throat. I really don't care. We disagree all the time. But, you know, this team is not getting younger. And then the Castro moves on, even with them in that lineup, ranked 32nd in the league in terms of rushing offense, 84 yards per game. Now, we know that Big Ben gets the football out quickly, but those are short to intermediate throws. You have a solid wide receiver core. Juju's there. Chase Claypool came on last year with that big game, remember, against Philadelphia, four touchdowns. And then Deontay Johnson, and I know we're going to disagree on this. I think he's overrated. I know from the fantasy perspective, they love him because he puts up numbers. Seven touchdowns, over 900 receiving yards last year. But he drops way too many passes. Way too many. And for a go-to guy in that offense, you need to secure the football. So here's the biggest question for me. Their defense statistically ranked 10th and 3rd overall in terms of rush defense. They were ranked 10th, 3rd in terms of the back end. And 56 sacks last year, 1st in the NFL. But they're getting older to it. Cameron Hayward. I mean, that defense broke down at the end of the year. That's a major concern for me and this team in 2021.
You know, if there's one thing that haunts me, it's that the Cowboys could have had T.J. Watt, but they drafted Taco Charlton instead.
He is the spearhead of that defense. I'll give you that. He is the heart and soul of that defense. But one guy did not make a team. We know that, right? Especially on the defensive side of the ball.
No, you're right. And I once again, I think it was easier for them in the first half of last season, or the first half plus, because the Steelers were scoring points. So once again, if the defense knows the other team has to throw the ball in the second half to keep up or try to get back in the game, you make the other team, you know, the offense one-dimensional. You know it. It's easier to play defense. It just is. Once again, you pin your ears back, go get the quarterback, you know, and that sort of thing here. I don't think it's going to happen this year either. I don't think the Pittsburgh is going to be able to score as many points. I think defenses, when they play the Steelers, are also going to play a little differently. I think they're also going to say, hey, Ben, can you throw over the top? Can you? Or you just know, a soft thrower now, because everything's going to be short. If you can't do that, safeties are creeping up. You know, we're not worried about you going over the top to get the ball to Johnson, Claypool, Washington, whatever, whoever it might be. Because if it happens, all right, it might happen. But we don't think you can do it consistently. You don't have the arm strength anymore. So I think it's going to play a major part here. And that could change around the whole dynamics. If, once again, if the Steelers aren't scoring points, it makes opposing defenses a little easier. I think one of the reasons why the Steelers went for the running back, besides the fact they needed one, is they're trying to take the pressure off Ben to be that guy. Yeah, they need a running back who could be – it's not fair to say be McCaffrey or Barkley or someone like that, do everything type, but they need someone, you know, a Dalvin Cook guy who can be that guy, the focal point. They do need that to take the pressure off Ben, but that's a lot of pressure to put on a rookie quarterback, a rookie running back in year one. But I think the Steelers have all sorts of issues here. Sorry, Mike. Well, not sorry.
Yeah, well, here's the issue that I have. And Najee Harris can be that back, but he's more built like Derrick Henry. You know, he's about 6'2", 235 pounds. He's athletic. He's agile. Jumped over the Notre Dame defender in terms of the college football playoff. Can catch the football out of the backfield. But again, he's not that explosive north and south type of runner like a Dalvin Cook or like an Alvin Kamara. It takes him a little bit of time to get going, right? So that big of a body, he's just not going to go from point A to point B in 2 seconds flat. That was the Travis Etienne type of running back, right? And that's why I thought if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers, a better fit in that offense would have been Travis Etienne because of his first step explosiveness like Alvin Kamara. So you have a little bit different type of offense now with Najee Harris there. The offensive line needs to be much better than what they were last year, because what teams are going to do, they're going to stack the box just like you said and say, okay, Ben, beat us over the top. And then all of a sudden when they want to run the football, Najee Harris is going to have to create, and he's not that type of running back, you know, especially in year one. So there are going to be some growing pains with that. The other concern is that when you're not sustaining drives and you're put into long third down situations, now you're at a disadvantage, and that's where the defense breaks down. So even though on paper they look great, Devin Bush, they have TJ Watt, you have Joe Hayden, Terrell Edmonds, if they're out there for longer periods of time because their offense is inconsistent, they're not going to have the same type of productivity that they had in the first half of last year.
I agree with you. I think Pittsburgh's going to have some issues here. I think they sort of get a break. They can open up training camp a week earlier than other teams. They're playing in the Hall of Fame game against the Cowboys. Those two teams were supposed to play last year. It got canceled because of COVID. So training camp opens for them next week. So I think that will help somewhat to get things acclimated here. But I think Pittsburgh's in for a listen, I think what happened at the end of last season is going to continue this season. Man, right. They're going to have some struggles. You know, it's not going to be the 11-0 team. It's just not. You know, they're going to be more of a struggling 500 team, somewhere around there. You know, the over-under is 8.5 on FanDuel. And I think they have it right. You know, it's minus 105 to the over, minus 115 to the under. I think they have it right. This is not something I would bet on. I do lean the under here, because when I look at it, and I'm looking at this, Joe, I see, okay, I can see 7 wins. You know, I'll give you 3 in the division. And then I could see 3 others where, okay, you should be able to beat Denver. Vegas at home. I think you played Denver as well. I'll give you that. There was another game in there. Okay, I'll give you that. Chicago, Detroit. Okay. Who else you beating? Everything else is a rough game. Tennessee, Minnesota, Green Bay. You know, granted, we don't know about Aaron Rodgers, but Seattle. It is a tough game. You play Kansas City. Good luck here. If you got to 9 wins, I think it would be a very successful season.
Yeah, I'm selling the under, and it's under 8.5 at minus 115. Last 6 games of the year, Baltimore, at Minnesota, Tennessee, yikes, at Kansas City, Cleveland, Baltimore. With an aging quarterback, and if that offense is not consistent, I'm selling that whole second half of the season. So I'm under hard at minus 115 on FanDuel right now for the Pittsburgh Steelers in terms of their 8.5 win total in 2021. I will just say, when we come back, we'll talk about more things in terms of you know, fantasy players in Baltimore and some of the other teams. But 2 players that keep an eye on: Quincy Roche, from Temple, that moved to Miami, and Kalen Ballage. What do you think about both of those players?
I mean, they'll need them to perform. Ballage probably to a lesser extent. You always want to have the The caddy to the top running back. It's not like when you and I grew up when, you know, running backs carried the ball 32 times a game and that's all that mattered here. The game has changed. You need running back two, if not a running back three, to take some of the pressure off here. But I think they have that. Snell, McFarland, Balazs, they have enough guys. Samuels, if they make, they won't all make the team, mind you, unless they can play special teams. So we'll see how that works out there. So I think they're okay at the skill position, at the skill positions, excuse me. I think they'll be fine there. I think it's, once again, it all comes down to the offensive line. Can they hold up? And Ben, is his arm strength? It'll never be back to normal, and that's not fair. He's you know, you get older, your arm's not as strong now. But if his noodle arm like last year, and he's going to throw up punts, then forget it. None of this matters. They won't even win seven games if that happens.
See, you know why I feel confident about the win total under 8.5, George, and we'll talk about it. It's -210. Joe Lisi, George Kurtz talking AFC North.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
To Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Ripping through the AFC North, we led off with Cincinnati. Just talked about Pittsburgh. And George, before we go to Baltimore and Cleveland right now, I said, you know why I feel confident at the under 8.5 for Pittsburgh at -115 on the FanDuel Sportsbook is that when you look at their total to actually make the playoffs, right? Yes is positive value. No is -210. So FanDuel is already priced in a basically two to one that they're not going to make the playoffs this year. So when you look at their schedule and we go through the games and we look at those last six games of the year, I feel confident that this team most likely, in my opinion, could be 8-9, 7-10 this year.
Oh, I think once again, if they get to 8-9, 9-8, I think they've had a great year. Said it earlier. That schedule is brutal. It's just brutal. That last six games. And even you want to say the last eight games, because I don't think at Cincinnati week 12 is a gimme either. And they play with the Chargers in week 11 here. Those teams can score points. Can Pittsburgh score with them? This is no longer the steel curtain defense where they're going to lock teams down to 17 points. They're going to give up points. So I don't know if Ben in that offense, it's really on Ben in that arm. I don't know if he's ready to compete with that. I just don't. So I don't have much faith in the Steelers winning, really being anywhere near 500. I like the under as well.
We'll see about Baltimore now. A lot of fans have faith that Lamar Jackson can lead this team to a Super Bowl. With John Harbaugh at the helm, I mean, this team ripped off five regular season wins at the end of the year before the playoff game with Tennessee, won those games in dominating fashion by 19.4 points per game. They go to Orchard Park. They go toe-to-toe with Buffalo for maybe a quarter. And then in the second half, Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills rip that team in the divisional playoff game. Now Lamar Jackson here in year number four. Can he step up? Can he progress? Not on the ground, through the air. Was a 1,000-yard rusher last year, 26 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. They draft some wide receiver help in terms of Tylan Wallace in the fourth round, first round draft pick, Rashad Bateman out of Minnesota. George, can this team take the next step and progress over the 11-win total that's set for them in FanDuel this year?
All right, so you brought up the negative, right, and they lost to Buffalo. The positive would be that what do we always get on Lamar Jackson about that he hadn't won a playoff game? He did last year. All right, so he got over that hump. Now they're going to need to get over the next hump. Can they compete with the big boys, which are Buffalo, Kansas City? I don't know. I honestly don't know. It's a good team. I'm not worried about that, but I didn't love what they did in the offseason. Adding Sammy Watkins, all right, not quite the guy I was looking for in free agency to help that team. Someone who can't stay healthy. How's he going to play in this kind of offense against the quarterback with a quarterback that, you know, he's not known for being precise with the football. So I worry about that. I'm not worried about the running game. Dobbins, I mean, I don't think it's great, but Dobbins, Edwards, Hill, along with Lamar Jackson, they'll rush for a million yards. Andrews, how about catch the ball? All right, stop dropping passes. It's frustrating. Well, I don't care what kind of fan. If you're a fan of the Ravens, if you're a gambler, if you're a fantasy player, it's frustrating to watch him drop all these balls over and over again. I really would have liked to have seen them, like I said, add to the wide receiver core here. That being said, it's a good team. It's a dangerous team because teams, it's amazing. How many years has Lamar Jackson been in the league now? Yet defense is still trying to figure him out, how to stop him from running, you know, all over the place. It's difficult. The man can stop on a dime and go the other direction. It's just not fair, it seems like, half the time. So we'll see here. I think the offense is going to score points, I have no doubt. In some ways, for me, it's funny, Joe. I think for the Ravens, we'll see what they can do in January in the playoffs. I think they're going to make it. Is it what can they do in the game?
Yeah, here's the problem I have with this team. And I love Lamar Jackson. I was a big backer of him coming out of Louisville. I said he was one of the most lethal quarterbacks in terms of the college draft that year. Would have taken him over Baker Mayfield. That being said, I need to see more in a big spot. It's one thing to rush for 191 yards per game like the Ravens did last year, which was tops in the NFL. But when push comes to shove, you need to be able to push the ball vertically. You need to be able to throw the football in the NFL just the way some of the better teams do. Like Kansas City, like Tampa Bay. You need that threat of the passing game. And until he can do that, until I see enough consistency from him, I can't back this team over 11 this year. I just can't. I think they're a 10-7 team because I think they're going to be handcuffed. And as good as you might say, you know, Rashad Bateman was in terms of Minnesota, he's a good wide receiver. I'm not sold on him either. Played with Tyler Johnson. Both of those players were Tanner Morgan. Johnson moved on to Tampa Bay with Tom Brady last year. Had some critical drops as well throughout the season. But, you know, they were a product of the Big Ten as well. Rashad Bateman has the tools. He's not a Justin Jefferson. He's not a Jamar Chase type of wide receiver at this point entering the NFL. So I think there's going to be some growing pains. And then I agree with you. Gus Edwards, good. He's not elite. J.K. Dobbins, good. And then you have to worry about the defense because even though, again, we looked at these stats, 8th against the run last year, 6th against the pass, when your offense is inconsistent, they're going to be out there. So let me ask you this. Lamar Jackson, would you still say top 5 quarterback right now based off talent or what you saw? When the game is on the line, do you feel confident that Lamar Jackson can lead this team from behind in a 2-minute drill against anybody right now? I don't care if it's Detroit, Cincinnati. Do you feel that confident if his back is against the wall in the passing game?
Ah, yeah, that passing game at the end there. I feel confident. And as a passer, no. No, that's why if teams can ever figure out how to keep him in check, you're never going to stop the man. All right, he's too athletic. He's too good. He's too fast. But if you're going to just keep him in check and not go bananas, then I think this offense screeches to a halt. You know, I don't think he's good enough in the passing game to do it. Is he top 5? I mean, there's Mahomes ahead of him. Allen's ahead of him. But after that, I mean, Rodgers, if he were to play, ahead of him. After that, I don't know if I'm putting anybody. I think he's in that same group with everybody else. You know, with Dak, Russell Wilson. I think I put him ahead of Brady, guys like that. Burrow guys are still getting there. So I think he is still top 5, but he's in more of a different group here. The problem is, like I said, if he ever suffers a leg injury, you know, where he can play but can't run, you know, he's got a quad bruise and he limits a hamstring strain, something like that, they're toast. Because that's all he can do now is throw the football. You know, he still needs to get better at that. But I don't think it's all his fault. This is why I keep saying I wish Baltimore would have given him a true weapon. This is a wide receiver strong, wide receiver heavy, wide receiver strong draft. Yet you ignored it for a couple of rounds. I thought that was a mistake.
Yeah, see, here's the issue that I have is that I agree with you. I think he's explosive. But if you're relying on the run, you need Lamar Jackson to break contain to win a playoff game. That's not going to get it done. It's just not. You know, we saw that with Josh Allen and Kansas City, right? When Kansas City's defense stepped up, Josh Allen was basically contained to the pocket, right? They couldn't push the ball vertically against Mahomes in that divisional championship game. Same thing with Lamar Jackson. When they faced a good defense like Buffalo, yes, he gets hurt, right? He goes out of that game, but they weren't pushing the ball down the field. So if you have to rely on Lamar Jackson to break a 50-yard run like he did against Tennessee on the road, that's not the recipe for a title. It's just not. And You're right about the wide receivers. You know, Sammy Watkins is aging. Marquise Brown, he's got elite speed, but he's a smaller type of wide receiver. You need tall, lanky wide receivers, especially in red zone opportunities. I know they drafted Miles Boykin. He hasn't panned out. But you look at Bateman right now. If you're putting all your weight in terms of a Super Bowl title run on Rashad Bateman to turn around this passing attack in 2021, that's asking a lot out of a rookie. And without the complementary pieces, it's going to be very difficult. So let me ask you this. When we look at their schedule, which team stands out for you in the first half? At Las Vegas, that Kansas City game, at Detroit, at Denver, Indy with Carson Wentz, the Chargers and Justin Herbert, and then Cincinnati. On paper, George, they really realistically could only have one loss. If not, they could run the table in the first half of the season.
Well, they need to take advantage of this first half because their first seven games looks okay, solid. Last seven, no. It looks rough. You're playing pretty much the who's who. I guess once in, if we're going to say who are we looking forward to, I can almost say right away, not so much for Baltimore, but I want to see what Vegas is about in week one. You know, they're playing at Vegas. There'll be fans there, right, at Allianz Stadium for the first time. So we'll see what's going to happen there. But the game, of course, is going to be Kansas City week two. That's always the game, right? Chiefs and Raiders, that's what we always want to see every year. It's a Sunday night game. So it has to be that game as far as what we're looking for. The Monday night game against Indianapolis is almost the same thing as the Vegas game. I want to see what Indianapolis has to offer this season. So they do have three games I'm interested in. But I imagine we're all looking for that Sunday night game against Kansas City in week two.
Right, we'll see. I mean, if you had to peg their total right now at 11, you taking over or under?
Once again, I think FanDuel's done a good job here. I think they've got it right. I'm going to take the under, but I'm not betting it. But I would lean towards the under.
Yeah, that's what I do. I like the under, minus 120. We'll see. I know our friend over there on TMA, Ariel Epstein, will be all over us. I don't care. I'm taking under Baltimore right there at minus 120 on FanDuel. Let's look at Cleveland and Baker Mayfield. What can you say, baby? 11-5 last year. Won those 11 games by a narrow margin, less than a touchdown, 6.7 points per game. But they go toe-to-toe with that Kansas City offensive line and defensive line in the playoff game. Chad Henne holds them off, but a lot of optimism here in 2021. Odell Beckham returns, two of the top running backs in the NFL, and Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. And I think this team could be peaking at just the right time this year.
The weapons are there. The weapons are there. I know this might be, if they're not the most complete team in football, they're one of them. Top three, top five at the very worst, as far as they don't have any obvious weaknesses here. If I'm going to play negative Ned here, I thought Mayfield got better once Beckham got hurt. And it's not being negative against Beckham, but I think it forced him to spread the ball around. Not to look, have eyes for one guy, but spread the ball around to Landry, Higgins, People Jones, whoever. The tight end, Hooper. And I think that made him a better quarterback. I do. So I hope that he's not going to revert back to form. Now, okay, Beckham's back. He's going to be the guy. And I had to look at him first, second, and third on every read. I don't want that to happen there because I think that would hurt him again. But other than that, I love what this team has done. I know it's hurt to say that for Cleveland. They probably should have beaten Kansas City. If they don't fumble the ball into the end zone, if they don't they stop Chad Henne, they win the game. They probably should have won that game. I think they are going to be a very, very good team this season, and good for Cleveland for that. Mayfield, like I said, I think it's unfair to ask him to take the next step like Josh Allen took when he went from 20 to 21. He took a monumental step from 19 to 20, actually. I don't think it's fair to ask him to take that kind of leap here. But if he takes another incremental step in his progression, look out. Just look out. The running game is probably the best in the NFL with Chubb and Hunt. The offensive line is good. The defense is good. This team should be easy double digits in wins.
I agree. I'm going over their win total on FanDuel at minus 105 at over 10.5. I mean, I agree with you. I think they could be a 13-win football team this year. I'm high on Cleveland. I love what they did in the draft. But let's look at that addition of Jadeveon Clowney and Myles Garrett now. You're going to have two solid defensive ends that are going to crash on opposing offensive lines and quarterbacks at the point of attack. This defense gave up 110 rushing yards per game. That was ranked ninth in the NFL. The secondary does have concerns this year with Denzel Ward. They allow 247 passing yards per game. But the biggest thing for me was head coach Stefanski instilled a mentality in this team, especially in terms of that offensive line, that run blocking that they showcased all year long. And I hate to do this, George, but that game early on against Dallas where they were blowing off the Cowboys 5-6 yards down the field, that was a telling sign for me. When we come back, we'll wrap it up. Joe Lisi and George Kurtz right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Wrapping up the AFC North right here, Joe Lisi, George Kurtz. We were talking about Cleveland and Baker Mayfield. George, when you look at their bye week, it comes later in the year, and then they face Baltimore, Las Vegas, at Green Bay, at Pittsburgh, and then Cincinnati. FanDuel has them to make the playoffs, George, at minus 210. I got to like that bet, even though it's heavily juiced to the over.
It's a parlay opportunity. I don't think I would bet it straight. I do think they make the playoffs. I think they win the division. I think the only teams in the AFC I would put ahead of them are Kansas City and Buffalo, and I wouldn't put them massively ahead. I just need to see them beat one or both those teams first before I'm going to put them quite there. But I think they are that good a team. So I think they make the playoffs. But minus 210, generally anything over minus 165, 170 for me, I look for parlays. So minus 210 is likely a parlay.
Oh, I misspoke. It must have just changed because now it's minus 250 in terms of, yes, making the playoffs. Quick question. Does Odell Beckham bounce back into form to be one of the elite wide receivers in the NFL this year? I say possibly.
Oh, you hedge. No, boo. Make a decision. No. I think he's still going to be good, but not when you – if you're going to use the word elite, no. From a fantasy perspective, I'm going to have guys like Hopkins, Adams, depending, of course, on – I'm going to say it's 1,000 times on this show now over the next 6 weeks, depending on Aaron Rodgers, Tyreek Hill, Diggs, probably Metcalf. I don't know about Michael Thomas with Jameis Winston, but those guys I'll have all ahead of him. He might crack my top 12. That's about his guy. I think for the elite, you're looking at the top half of that, top five, top six, top eight. He won't be in there for me.
Wow, okay. I think he could bounce back in a big way. I think he has something to prove. I think when he sees Jarvis Landry, he sees the team get to the playoffs without him, I think Odell Beckham could jump back into form, especially when you look at some of the LSU wide receivers in the league, right? Justin Jefferson, you see Ja'Marr Chase. The old man might have something to prove. We're going to be here every day. Keep it where it is, Monday through Friday. Tomorrow we'll be talking NFC West. Have a great day, everyone.